Welcome to the Jay Porks Podcast. Coming to you straight out of Staten Island, New York. Bringing you a weekly episode with the finest music news, server problems, and whatever else is going on in Jay's life. Thank you so much for listening. Without further ado, here's Jay.
Having casual sex in New York City just got easier. In the famous words of a wise philosopher, one must respect the artistry. And what Beyoncé was doing was art. It's not any of those. The worst thing I can hear in the dining room, you say to me, is these four words. Turn on Fox News. Now I went from fun trolling to why I'm running through the reasons in my head why I hate the world so much. I talk about weed a lot. I'm an abrasive douchebag who sometimes finds himself at odds with people in power.
Dropping plates on your ass, biatch!
Don't you dare be sour!
Thank you, fuck you, bye, boom!
Hence my self-loathing. It's called spade a spade. Kid's my age, and he's hanging out he's the type of guy to hang out at an eighth grade prom after party. You know? Trolling for snatch. Okay? And everyone just rolled their eyes, listened to this, like, what an obnoxious asshole this guy is. Yeah, I am an obnoxious asshole. I didn't grow up in Staten Island, okay? I didn't grow up in a place where people drive their parents' cars and, you know, they have their older brothers come down to fight for them and their older cousins. I'm not from there. That's not where I'm from.
If my ass occupies the space that I'm sitting in, my feet also occupy that space. I am a human being, and matter means that only one thing can occupy one space. No two things can occupy one space at the same time. I was in that space at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, whenever they let us in. I was in that space immediately when they let us in. You weren't. Therefore, I was occupying that space. Okay, can everyone just chill out? Everyone just take a chill pill? Instead of tweeting things like, Harriet Tubman should be on the EBT card? Now, I'll admit, that's fucking hilarious, but at the same time, that's fucking racist.
Hey there indeed. What is the word, people? Welcome to another action-packed edition of the Jay Porks Podcast. I'm Jay Porks, with me as always on the other side of the glass, making sure this is a well-oiled podcast machine. Every week is the ever-popular nobody. Had a good birthday. Shoutouts to Amanda. She always makes it awesome. We had fun, went to the Tilted Kilt. So, big shouts to her for that. Good times. Awesome. Awesome sauce. Alright. Where am I going to start this week with this asshole? With hashtag not my president, hashtag never my president. Now, later on in the podcast, we will go over some of the, 2016 highlights. But, right now, let's discuss the death of our great nation and how it's never going to recover, or it's going to take a long time to recover. Now, Donald Trump is on his thank you tour. Now, could everyone just sit back and think for a second how crazy that is? That somebody is on a thank you tour? So, like, when you campaign to be president, you go to these towns and you speak at rallies and you have people cheer and you convince people to vote for you. That's what you do. Trump already, election day's already passed. Then Trump schedules a thank you tour. So he's holding rallies like he's still running for president. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. But you know what? It's crazy. Like, I saw something on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. By the way, Trevor Noah, I probably said this before, but like, Jon Stewart was so great. And to even, to have Trevor Noah step in, and he really is pretty good. He's pretty darn good. Like, I really enjoy everything that he's, a lot of the, most of the stuff that I see that he says. Like, it's surprising. Like, all these other guys who took over for people's talk shows, like, they're failing. Most of them. Like, I mean, I love Stephen Colbert, but not as many people watch Colbert as watch Letterman. That's just what it is. That's just how it goes. But I saw something about Truth Trump on the Daily Show. So I'm just going to play. It's about 5 minutes. I'm going to play the bit from the Daily Show where Trevor Noah is breaking down, is talking about Donald Trump on his thank you tour, or as Trevor Noah has coined it, he is Truth Trump. So let's hear from Truth Trump on his thank you tour to his supporters.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm ready for 2016 to end. I am so done with this year. This was honestly one of the shittiest years we can remember. And on top of that, it was a leap year, so there was an extra day of shittiness. To be honest, only an asshole would be thankful for a year like this.
President-elect Donald Trump kicking off his thank you tour, visiting the key battleground states that helped secure his win against Hillary Clinton.
Of course, the worst year for us is the best year for Trump. You know, when we lose, he wins. It's like he owns one of those cleaning companies that only cleans up crime scenes. It's like, oh boy, triple homicide, cha-ching! And I thought the thank you tour was a waste of time. Honestly, I did, until I watched it. And I realized that the thank you tour is actually some of the most important speaking Donald Trump has done all year. Like yesterday, Trump was in Wisconsin, right? And in between thanking the voters, he also gave us a glimpse of his true relationship with the Speaker of the House.
Speaker Paul Ryan, where's the Speaker? Where is he? He has been, I'll tell you, he has been terrific. And you know, honestly, he's like a fine wine. Every day goes by, I get to appreciate his genius more and more. Now, if he ever goes against me, I'm not gonna say that, okay?
I get the feeling that when Trump says Paul Ryan is like a fine wine, what he really means is that he wants to lock Ryan up in a basement for like 40 years. You've got to read between the lines. But what stands out in that clip for me is not the compliments, but it's how blatantly Trump admits how empty his words are. Just watch that last part again.
I get to appreciate his genius more and more. Now, if he ever goes against me, I'm not going to say that, okay?
Yeah, you see that? Straight up. If Paul Ryan is like a fine wine, then Donald Trump is like a fine meth. Yeah, just a little, and you're like, what the fuck is going on? The guy's blatantly saying it. I like him now, but if he goes against me, I won't say that. I won't say that. And this is not actually a new thing. What we're seeing here is a character I like to call Truth Trump. You'll notice it if you watch him closely, right? The Donald voices some political opinion, and then Truth Trump slips out and tells you the real deal.
You've been hearing me say it's a rigged system, but now I don't say it anymore because I won. Okay? It's true. You know, now I don't care. I don't care.
You see? It throws everyone off. Because politicians aren't supposed to be honest about their lying, right? You don't even get mad, you just get confused. You really do. Imagine if your boyfriend was like, baby, I didn't go to the club. I was home. Unless you were home too when I was somewhere else. Then that, I was somewhere else. That doesn't make you mad. I mean, that's the thing. But I wasn't at the club. And now with this tour, Trump is finally admitting that it was all bullshit. He's admitting it blatantly, blatantly. Take Hillary, for example, right? Trump spent the entire campaign saying that Hillary was a dangerous criminal who had ruined the country. And for that, he was gonna lock her up. People chanted it. They held up signs. He even said it to her face at a debate. It was the one specific piece of policy he had. But now that he's got what he wanted, Truth Trump tells it like it is.
Because I heard my opponent had scheduled Michigan unexpectedly. It was like all of a sudden, with President Obama and Michelle and Bill and Hillary, and they were going to Michigan. No, it's okay. No, forget it. That plays great before the election. No, we don't care, right?
I'm sorry, what? He even says it plays great? Just, it plays great before the election, but now we don't care? Yeah, like everyone else was doing this for real, and he was just playing, he was just testing it out. You can even feel some people in the crowd were like, yeah, wait, we were playing? Come on, I wrote that on Grandpa's tombstone. I took that seriously. That's not even the biggest surprise. Because look, I can get going hard on your opponents, right? But Trump's campaign's central appeal was that he was an outsider. A man whose main mission was to drain the swamp. He said it all the time. He was going to get rid of the lobbyists and get rid of Wall Street money and give D.C. back to the people. But Truth Trump, he tells it like it is.
We're going to drain the swamp of corruption. Funny how that term caught on, isn't it? I tell everyone, I hated it. Somebody said, drain the swamp. I said, oh, that's so hokey. That is so terrible. I said, all right, I'll try it. So like a month ago, I said, drain the swamp. The place went crazy. I said, whoa, watch this. Then I said it again. Then I started saying it like I meant it, right? And then I said it, I started loving it. And the place loved it. It's drain the swamp. I mean, it's true. It's true. It's true. Drain the swamp.
You know what Trump is like? He's like a magician telling everyone how he did the trick. And still some people are like, wow, magic. It's magic. Ooh, magic. Hey there, thanks for watching. If you liked that video, click here to subscribe. Just keep the mouse pointer away from my face, please. Don't, here, click here to, not my face, click here, please. Please, that looks, don't do that, that's sharp. Click here to subscribe.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that insane to say, like, isn't it crazy to say that that played well before the election, now not so much, like, he's not only a liar, but he's telling you that he lied. He's telling you that he swindled you. He's the guy, three-card Monty guy at Penn Station. He's the guy, find the ace, and he's moving the cards around, and you can never find it because it's a trick. And that's why it's so bad. I was telling my brother this the other day. I was like, listen, I'm like, if this was like Mitt Romney or some normal Republican, yeah, it would suck, but it wouldn't be like the end of the world as we know it. It wouldn't be that, because it would just be somebody whose policies are different. We don't know. The uncertainty of Donald Trump is the scariest of everything that is happening right now. You don't know what this guy's gonna do. He's going to start a war with somebody because he was mad at their tweet or something. He ripped the guy from Vanity Fair for saying that his restaurant sucked. But if you ask Donald Trump, if you said, hey, Donald, why does your restaurant suck? He'd say, well, it brings in a lot of money. That's not the question. It's not the question. We didn't ask if you make money off it. We know you make money off things. And then you declare bankruptcy multiple times. Oh, it makes him smart. That makes me... It all goes back to the debate. There was a turning point at one of those debates where they said Donald Trump hasn't paid taxes in 25 years. And he said, that makes me smart. Now, the crowd, you heard like little applause. That makes me smart? No, it makes you a criminal. And no, I'm not going to share a screenshot of the definition of criminal. I know what it is. So that's what you call a criminal. Somebody who admits that they didn't pay taxes. Somebody that when you tell them, oh, Donald Trump cheated some workers out of money, you know, a Trump supporter will be like, well, you know, that makes him smart. You know, only pay what you can, you know, only pay what you can, the least amount you could pay. It's like if I went to work and there was no work for me to do and I got paid, they'd be like, well, you know, you gotta take care of yours, right? No, it's not like that. That's not how life works. In this country, we take care of each other. And there is nothing about this Trump administration that says that we're taking care of each other. If by each other, you mean if you're in a room with old, rich white men and only them, and that's the only people you're taking care of, then yeah, there's equality there in that room. Also, he said that they came up with the drain the swamp phrase for him, and he didn't like it. He thought it was hokey. Wouldn't know why he didn't like it? Because it wasn't true! It wasn't what he was doing. He filled the cabinet with swamp people. It's swamp people, man. The head of the EPA is suing the EPA. The guy heading the labor union opposes minimum wage. Linda McMahon runs Small Business Administration. Somebody who owns a very large business. A very not small business. And by the way, before I forget about this, I am going to mention it. Last week I mentioned Donald Trump's ties to Linda McMahon and wrestling. There was a storyline couple of years ago where Vince McMahon's limousine exploded in the parking lot, and it was like a whodunit, you know, who did it? That was going to be the storyline, but then Chris Benoit offed himself, so they had to abort that theory. But don't worry, they aborted it before the heart was beating. So Vince's limo blew up, fake, and Trump called WWE. He was like, is Vince all right? Is Vince all right? This is the guy that won the election. For the life of me, I can't. I mean, get me pumpkin spice. Get me Uggs. Get me Starbs. I literally can't even. If there was an even that I couldn't do it. This effing world we live in. Gonna drain the swamp. Not draining anything. And this whole thing about Russia. Like, he's friends with Putin. Yeah, you're friends with Putin because Putin hacked the American election to undermine it. That's the whole thing. The Russians wanted Trump to be president because he's a puppet. But the thing is that they didn't tamper with the elections. It wasn't like, goal is to get Trump in office. If we don't get him in office, it's a failure. That wasn't it. The goal was to destroy the confidence of Americans, their confidence in the election process. And you know what? Everybody, it worked, because everyone wants to know, what's up with this Electoral College? Why do we have the Electoral College? Why didn't we vote yet? Why did three million more people vote for Hillary Clinton and she's not the president? And can I just say this to all the people that might be listening to this podcast, who are on my Facebook or whatever, might be on Twitter, might want to reply to me with things you say. When I say Donald Trump is a racist, when I say Donald Trump is going to destroy the country because of A, B, C, D, and E, and I list reasons, and you say to me, well, Hillary wouldn't have done... Whoa. I don't think I've said the words Hillary and Clinton after November 8th. I don't think I've said that at all. Now, nobody brought up Hillary. This isn't about Hillary. That's what you people don't understand. Just like Trump, Trump isn't a Republican, he's a Trumpican. Hillary doesn't represent what the main, what the base of the Democrats represent anymore. That party has changed. So I get it. Listen. She should have picked Bernie as the VP, should have picked Elizabeth Warren, should have been a little... She had to pick the guy that no one's freaking heard of. You know what? I'm getting so mad. I'm getting so angry at this. But, like, I don't mention Hillary. I just talk about racism. I just talk about fascism. I just talk about how Hitler was elected and how Hitler was Time Magazine's Man of the Year. And Trump is doing all these things. Trump is continuing in the path of Hitler. And if you tell it to Trump, he'll say, well, Hitler had some good ideas. No. Nobody who supports mass genocide has a good idea. Here's the thing. If you support mass genocide because you think it's a good idea and you come up with the theory of evolution, I'm sorry. Your theory of evolution is invalid if you believe that mass genocide is okay. You're not a human. And listen, you know, it's okay. You people can think that because you're white, you can think that because you're not poor, per se, you can think that because you don't have any, you know, you don't indulge in the recreational use of marijuana from time to time, you can think that because you don't do all these things, because you're not a woman, because you're not any of these things, you can think that you're okay. That, oh, well, since I'm a white kid, or since I'm a rich white guy who comes from a rich white family, it's all right. Trump's going to take care of me. You got conned, my friend. That's what you call politics. So for all you people that said, well, I voted for him because he's not a politician. Well, guess what? Guess what? Guess who's a politician? See, like... Politicking doesn't only go on. Politicking is negotiating. That's all it is. Negotiating and speech. Having speeches, negotiating things. When, you know, when you're in a circle and people are, you know, smoking pot and you hold it and you hold the doobie too long, they say stop politicking. That's what they say. Pass it. What are you polying for? You know? Stop bogarting. But that's what it is. So yeah, he's not a politician in the sense of the word where he's never been an elected official. Correct. But he sort of politicked his way through multiple bankruptcies and was able to still win the presidency somehow. Not my president, hashtag not my president, hashtag never my president. Do you see what goes on? Is anybody understanding that the ramifications of what they've done is endless? They're endless. Stocks in private prisons are up. Stocks in weaponry are up. You know, the companies that make guns and helicopters and tanks, the companies that make tools for war, their stocks are up. Why? Think about it. Think about it. Betsy DeVos is going to take away public school. She's a billionaire who's never been to never worked in a school and doesn't have children. But she cares that much about the youth of America that she's going to make sure that they all have to go to charter and Catholic schools. so they can get their grades fudged, so they can all pass, so the school can get a good rating on, you know, goodschools.com or whatever the hell it is, because that's how Catholic schools work. They don't go by, not Catholic schools, private schools in general. It could be charter, parochial, whatever. Any, doesn't need to be religious. It's just private, where you pay tuition is what I'm referring to here. Like when you have those schools, and then your kid just passes, because if he doesn't pass, then the mom's going to call up and complain, and then when the mom complains, you have to change the grade. Schools get funding based on, like, how... If schools get funding based on how well children do on, like, in-class tests, then that whole system is flawed. You know where private schools should get funding from? I'm gonna give you a little hint where private schools should get funding from. People paying tuition. That's where they should. Raise the tuition. Many great minds came from public school, including my own. And listen, I wasn't exactly, like, yeah, I dropped out of high school, got my GED and stuff, but I eventually got back to college, did my thing. And now, you know, I'm an educator, I'm somebody who helps educate the youth, of forwarding the education of the youth of America day by day, one lesson at a time. I did fine. I went to public school. I mean, public school is an institution that's been around hundreds of years. Or 100 years. Maybe 200 years. I'm not sure when they started learning to read. To take that away, and now every other... Now raising a child is going to cost that much more? Because you have to pay for school? Oh, no, don't worry. They'll give you a voucher. Oh, a voucher? What is this for? You know, so you can have, you know, so you can pay it later. This isn't college. That's what you do to college. You pay for college later. There's just so many. I said it last week without knowing it. Thanks, Amanda, for pointing it out to me. I don't have enough hands for all of the face palms that I do. I don't have enough. I can't. I just can't. It's just something that is unfathomable to me. And it's scary, and we must never normalize this. You cannot sit there in your house. You can't sit there on Facebook and let it become normal. You can't. Because it's not. And it never will be. And as soon as you start normalizing it, that's when you become part of the problem. And to tell you the truth, I'm running out of friends. I don't need people to be part of the problem unless they're part of Gibby Haynes and his problem. Other than that, don't be part of the problem. Don't add to the racism. Don't tell me that racism exists and it's something we just have to deal with. Because we don't. We, as a generation, can fix this. We are young enough. Maybe I'm not young enough anymore. Maybe I'm an old man now. But people younger than me, we can join together. And we can make positive steps forward with a grassroots movement in the vein of what Mr. Bernie Sanders talks about. I'm not saying all of his policies would be great. You know what I'm saying? I understand. Listen, it's good to hear, oh, free school, free healthcare. You know, it's fantastic to hear all that stuff, and I'd love to do it. But, like, at the same time, I understand that free college means community colleges. I understand that free healthcare means, you know, it comes with prices and stuff like that. I understand. I'm talking about the way the grassroots movement in which his popularity grew. The message that got across to those people. We need to take that message. We need to transfer the Bernie Sanders message into a mind of somebody much, much younger. Because you got to understand that, like, if a Bernie Sanders protege, you need a Bernie Sanders protege to be young So even if they lose the first time and the second time, you know, for Senate seats, for mayor seats, whatever, we can still, you know, they can spend years continuing to build what Bernie has built. The grassroots movement. The Democratic Party doesn't need I don't know if it needs a crazy overhaul. We just need to take some of these old fossils, you know, some of the Republican Democrats. We need to slide them out, not disavow them. Listen, Bill and Hillary Clinton have done great things for this country over the years. They've done great things for many people. They have. I just wish they would go away. Just go away. Don't be seen. Don't do speeches. Don't do anything. I know Putin has a personal grudge against me. No shit, Hillary. No shit. Is that why he funded hacking into your emails? Is that why he funded the rapist Julian Assange and WikiLeaks to hack your emails and ruin the election? Go away. When people see you, like, people don't like Hillary. So, like, when they see her, they automatically don't like what... She could be saying, I'm going to give you $1 million. And she could say, what a criminal. Like, it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. So, I mean, like, if they want to stay involved, stay in a back room somewhere. You guys have done great things for this nation. And you've done some things that people don't like. I mean, listen, that's what politics is. Not everybody does everything that you like. You just hope that at the end of the day, you don't have white supremacists vote for a president and he win. But that's what happened. And another thing that really bugs me out. Do you guys remember Benghazi? No. Oh my God. Excuse that momentary lapse if I don't get to go back and cut it. It was, I live with alcoholics, so, I mean, that's just how it goes. Sometimes I get interrupted when I'm recording the most important thing of my life. Remember Benghazi? Like, during the campaign, all I heard about was Benghazi. People died. What about the people that died? Hillary should be in jail for the people that died, the classified emails. But you know what's funny? It's like I'm surprised Trump on the Truth Tour or whatever on is like, literally Violent Torpedoes of Truth Tour. That's literally what it is. I'm surprised he didn't get up on stage and say, remember Benghazi? Yeah, we don't care about that anymore. Because, see, that's the thing. Don't pretend that you care about lives lost, because you don't. Because if you cared, you would still be worried. You would still be saying, Benghazi, Benghazi, Benghazi. I have not heard Benghazi since November 8th. Not once. Not one. Why? Are those people not important anymore? Are the people that died not... Are their lives no longer important because rich white Republicans are in charge again? Not how any of this works. That's not how country works. I cannot, for the life of me, understand the direction in which this nation decided to go. I can't. And I say it every week, and I'm sorry. And I really am sorry that, you know, I used to have fun. I used to come on the podcast. Oh, I'm going to make some jokes. Oh, I'm going to make some people laugh. Practice my stand-up shtick. Maybe one day I'll get up on stage and do some stand-up. Tell them like it is. You know, I got some funny bits. I used to be a kind of funny waiter and force my humor on paying customers. Might as well do it to the 6 people that listen to the podcast, right? Might as well, right? But I can't. Because I'm consumed. I'm obsessed with this Trumpism that's happening. This everything that happens and you people are like, yeah, he's going to fix the economy. If you believe that, then believe this. Bleach is a great beverage. Please drink some. It's another one of my taglines. I can't for the life of me understand it. There hasn't been any cabinet picks today, so I can't. Well, by the time this airs, there might be. I'm recording this a day before it's supposed to go up, or 2 days before it's supposed to go up. There might be cabinet picks that are head scratchers, but I think we're heading into a 2-week break here on the Jay Porks podcast. We might. I don't know. All right. I really hate this guy so much. Listen, I love John Oliver. I think it's a great show, and I think a lot of the stuff he says is accurate. So, when the season finale of Last Week Tonight was all about not normalizing Donald Trump, I took that seriously. And I share every article I can on Facebook, and, you know, my best friend Chach, you know, he doesn't really give a shit about politics either way, but, like, you know, he's one of these, you know, sees Trump memes and he thinks it's funny. So, yeah, Trump, okay. So he texted me the other day, like, IRL, you know, in real life. And he's like, because I shared the Donald Trump didn't know that Vince's limo explosion was fake story. Text me, he's like, you're crazy with this Trump shit. You gotta give him a chance. No, I don't. No, I do not. I don't. Here's the thing. All right. Hot take. Are you ready? This is one that you're going to need for sound bites. Let me explain something to you. The reason why the Hitler-Trump comparisons hit so close to home for me is because, yeah, Hitler was Time Magazine's Man of the Year. Hitler was elected by his own people. And then Hitler killed my fucking family. Okay? That's what Hitler did. So don't you dare say that, oh, well, maybe we should give it a chance. What? No, my people are going to die. My family's already suffered. And I don't want to see any other families suffer. I don't want a generation of, you know, Muslim Americans growing up saying, oh, I used to have 7 brothers and then they killed them all in concentration camp because, you know, fascism came back to America during 2016. I can't, as a person, let that happen. Hitler killed my family. My family. So don't you dare say that I don't know what I'm talking about. If we're talking about Hitler-Trump comparisons, you defer to me. You defer to people who have been affected by the Holocaust. Jewish, non-Jewish. There are, you know, obviously there were non-Jewish people that helped get the Jews to escape or whatever. I get it. Don't you dare tell me to give that a chance. What, so he can come kill me? What, when's it going to be enough? Maybe he'll kill off 90% of the Mexicans? Is that what he wants to do? Make America great again? I can't even use the word great anymore. Great is like a freaking adjective now that isn't a good thing. Like, whenever I'm going to type the word great in a text or in a something, I go back and I use another word. I know it's not the hardest word to find a synonym for, but I'm just saying, how can you take the simplest things and ruin them? Like the word great. Yeah. So people aren't going to take this seriously until there's Muslim internment camps and people are dying. Then maybe we'll take it seriously. You know, that and global warming. Who cares about global warming? That's not real. That's something that's made up by the Chinese. I know it's cold this week. That doesn't mean global warming didn't happen. And it's man-made. It's human-made. We are polluting this country. And in turn, we are destroying, not polluting this country, we're polluting this planet. And in turn, the planet is heating up. And if it continues to heat at this rate, we are dead. And I'm not talking about we're dead. I mean, like, anything that's on a coast, like, the water's gonna start coming up the coastlines, right? So, say like California, see how it's on the coast? Like water's going to start, you know, like a beach, but it's going to move up, and it's going to take out parts of land. And then coastal regions are going to get, you know, flooded and stuff, and there's going to be all sorts of diseases because, you know, because that's what happens when you destroy your planet. But the person elected to the most powerful office in the world thinks that that's a made-up thing. He thinks that that's not real. And he put in charge, the person in charge of the Environmental Protection Agency is a guy who's currently suing the Environmental Protection Agency. That's like if somebody from Trump University was suing Trump University and they became the dean of Trump University. You know what I mean? I'm not good at analogies, but that was a pretty simple one that I came up with. Alright. I'll get to a little year-end wrap-up. I haven't had a break in a couple of weeks. We'll have a break here. No, I'll do a little year-end wrap-up because why not, right? It's the end of the year. It's the end of the year as we know it. And I wanna die. Back after this.
Hey everybody, it's Andy from The Andy Dare Show, just thanking you so much for checking out the Jay Porks podcast. If you want to find out more about Jay and what he's up to, you can follow him on Twitter, at Jay Porks, on Instagram, at Jay Porks, and on Facebook, at Jay Porks. There's a running theme here, it's Jay Porks all day for 2016. And for his official website, full of podcasts and complete show notes, check out jayporks.com. If you want to check out more about Dare Network, just find us at iTunes. Search Andy Dare Show and we'll come right up. The Dare Network is now home to the Jay Porks Podcast, The Andy Dare Show, Spin Class with Tyler and Andy, and also Jesse Unplugged. We want to thank everybody who subscribes and tells a friend. Thank you so much for listening, and now back to the Jay Porks Podcast.
As I take your hand and bring you to the dance floor. A little admission here. If you get the latest, and if you're on Spotify, you can get... And listen, another thing about the Jay Porks podcast. I'm not saying that it's most certainly going to be available on Spotify fairly soon. But I will say that there's a possibility that if you're a Spotify user, it might get a little easier for you to hear all the Dare Network podcasting stuff coming in 2017. So just, but for now, just stay, keep your Spotify. You have Spotify, right? Everyone's got Spotify. Playlists. Who doesn't love playlists? So I've got a playlist every month. I try to do it every month. This year is Member December, like for Member Berries for South Park, which I haven't watched since the election because I don't want them to tell me to get over it. But, so that the song I used to intro there is Seether doing Careless Whisper, a freaking George Michaels song. But the Seether version is like my new favorite thing in the world, so I had to put it in there. 2016, folks. Lemmy, Bowie, Prince, Rickman, Glenn, Fry, so many people, Thick, so many deaths, man. It's tough to like. Listen, here's what 2016 brought us: a bunch of people dying, a bunch of talented people dying. You know, Sharon Jones. Talented people passing away, and the dividing of a country. That's what happened. I mean, there's very little good things I can look back on and say, wow, this year really provided me with this, except for one. There's only one good thing that happened to me this year. In terms of life. Not in terms of, like, a good night I had, you know? Not in terms of, like, oh, well, you know, back in July, I really had a fun night. Yeah, I probably did, but I mean in terms of life. In terms of how that affects the rest of the world. So this year in March/April, March is when I first got the job being a para, being an educator, helping forward the education of America's youth so we don't get Donald Trump again. So I started doing that in March, and in April, I was able to tell my waiter job to piss off. So in turn, 2016 is the first time since I was 14 years old that I haven't had a job that was a menial service position, that I haven't been the phone guy at Pizza Hut, that I haven't been packing bags in the Chinese restaurant, that I haven't been, you know, working the counter at Panini Grill, that I haven't been slinging pasta at Primo Pizza, haven't been working in the housewares section in Linens and Things, haven't been pushing carts at Stop and Shop, haven't been doing cold calls at a loan office, haven't been working on the ice cream truck. It's a lot of things. It's a lot of things I used to do to get by. A lot of crap jobs. A lot of jobs that you can't tell people that you do. Well, not you can't tell people that you can do. But, I mean, when I was a waiter and I told people I'm a waiter, they would always tell me, oh, so, like, you're in school? What do you do? Like, what are you doing while being a waiter? While being a waiter. I'm not doing anything. I'm being a waiter. Now that I have a good job, a real job, and I tell people, yeah, I used to be a waiter. Like, oh, waiter's a good job. Yeah, but no, it wasn't when I was doing it. You people didn't say that when I was doing it. Can you imagine if I was a waiter now? I mean, we can go back. I was going back listening to old podcasts because the biggest fan of the Jay Porks podcast is Jay Porks, 100%. So I was listening to some old stuff and like me, I hear me talking about some old lady who was a Trump supporter who I told how it was. And like, imagine if I had to do that when he allegedly won. You know what I mean? Hashtag not my president, hashtag never my president. I would not be able to keep that job. Like, it was fun when I was able to just serve food, tell jokes, and, you know, not have political commentary. But, like, towards the end of my run there, every table was politics, politics, politics. Because they're all angry white Republicans who see people of color. And they're like, oh, no. See, because back in the day, people of color were, like, of a lesser people than white people. Like, back in, you know, the 40s and the 50s. You know, the 20s, the 30s, the 40s. So, like, now that there's equality, all these white old white people are like, fuck, man, we can't have equality because we were winning. We're not going to win if they have equality. We're not going to be able to, you know, keep them down. We're not going to be able to make women not be able to get abortions if, you know, people of color and women have rights. We're not going to be able to cut Social Security if people like it. Like, I don't know, it's just an influx of white folks eating at restaurants I worked at. So, for me to get out of that line of work, and now when I'm at work, even if someone wants to ask me about politics, I just start doing math, because that's what I'm doing. I'm doing math. Speaking of math, I just want to, real quick, I'll say one funny thing. So, I'm doing a math problem the other day, right? I'm working with the kid I work with, 7th grade, and we're doing the math problem. So, like, I'm trying to help him out doing it. And so, I'm like, yeah, you do this, this, and this. And then as he's doing that, I'm thinking, is that really how you do it? I'm not sure how you do it. So, I take it, and I'm on a piece of paper, and I'm doing it myself. Because I want to see, like, if I get the same answer. And then I get it, and I'm like, oh, I got it. And I audibly get excited that I got the answer. So one of the kids at my table, he turns and he's like, man, you're like 40. I hope you got it. Damn. Roasted. Clap back. I was like, accurate. I enjoy doing, you know what's weird? I enjoy doing simple algebra. Like, solve for X. I like that. I can always get X. You know? 9A minus 30 equals 60. Like, you know? I know A is 10. It's easy. I have literal fun doing it. Like, I have fun doing my podcast. I have fun doing simple algebra. So, like, yeah, now I work at a school. I mean, 2016, work-wise, this is a perfect example of not everything in life having to do with your wallet. Like, I probably made more money as a waiter, but I have such a better job now that I'm able to just, the morale is so much better. Like, I'm helping people. I'm helping people get an education. That to me is so much more important than making a couple of extra bucks. Everything isn't about a couple of extra bucks. My old racist boss, John. And John, if John Ruane ever finds this podcast, fuck you, bro. Fuck you. You're most of the things that's wrong with this country. Somebody who's a firefighter who smokes cigars, not because they enjoy cigars, but because they want to claim to the union that they have smoke damage in their lungs and they want to collect their salary, even though they're not up for their pension yet. Yeah, I don't work for you anymore, so guess what, bro? I said that. I hope you get investigated. Got 40 people working off the books at a restaurant. And a Trump sign, making America great again. How? How? You're paying people $3 an hour. So, like, I can get paid nothing, and at least I'm helping people learn. I'm doing a service for the country, for America, for the youth of America. You know, 2016 was the year that white people started caring about heroin because white people started getting affected by heroin. You ever notice that when it was only black people and musicians, nobody cared that people were getting fucked up on heroin? They only care about it now because it happened in Woodrow Plaza and in Eltingville and in white, predominantly white neighborhoods where white people usually live. You know what I mean? Because white people don't go to the hood. So if it's happening in a predominantly non-white area, they don't know about it because they don't care. White people only care about hoods that they're going to gentrify. And when I say white people, I'm obviously a white person. I mean white people in the sense of the old guard, the grand old party. Like, I don't even mean young Republicans, you know what I mean? I mean, like, the Mike Pences of the world. The Reese Priebuses of the world. the Mad Dog Mattises of the world. These are the people I'm talking about. The Mitt Romneys of the world. Giuliani. Old white people who look at people of color and see them as a threat to them because they don't want that person to be held at a higher social or economical standard than them, when in reality, we are all human beings, this is everybody's planet, and we should all respect one another. And if everybody would just respect each other and, you know, like each other and be nice to each other, there'd be no need for a PC generation, because we wouldn't even need to say you have to be politically correct, because you would just be nice. And you know what? If people were nice to one another, there would be no reason for religion, because people would just be nice to each other. I don't get what is so hard about accepting other people. Listen, if somebody's raping you in the asshole, you can get mad at them. But if somebody, I mean, listen, if they're doing stuff to you personally, I get your outrage. But other than that, I mean, listen, if you don't, like, if I don't know somebody, they have all of the chance in the world to get on my team, to get on my side. It's like Dangerous Minds. Everybody starts with an A. It's your job to earn it. It's your job to keep it. You don't start off with an F and then you have to earn my respect. You start off with my respect because I'm a normal human being who respects other human beings. That's why. There'd be no need for these archaic institutions like religion. Which, by the way, I mean, listen, I'm at Mass every week. Just think about this for a second. Think about how funny 2016 was. 2016 is so funny that the Jewish kid who has a podcast has been to church way more than you this year. Make you feel like a heathen much? All my friends are heathens, take it slow. Does it make you feel like a heathen much? That I'm in church every week, sometimes twice a week, learning the good news. Insanity. So, I mean, highlights from 2016. Listen, I told Andy, I texted him, I said, I'm going to do a year-end podcast. That's what I said. I said, we usually go off for 2 weeks for Christmas break. So I said, I'll do a year-end podcast. But, like, I don't know. I don't have, like, a list. I don't have a top things. I've got the change in job. The change in government policies from democracy to fascism. I went to a few shows. I went to some memorable shows. Snoop Dogg and Wiz Khalifa. That show was great because of the $10 ticket upgrade. Got into like the 15th row. Best concert of the year it most certainly might have been Jewel in Atlantic City. That was so good. Like I was talking about it with Amanda yesterday. I was talking about it with Amanda on my birthday. Like, how good was that? I mean, besides like James Dolan, besides Jimmy and the Straight Shot, that was so good. Third row, fourth row. Brigada, Atlantic City, whoo, dreams last for so long. Meat Puppets at a birthday party in Williamsburg, I met Michael Azarad. I walk into the hotel room, Shannon's like, hey Jay, it's Michael Azarad. I'm like, hey Mike, I'm Michael Azarad, the author? He's like, yeah. I'm like, me too. Me and Michael Azarad, both authors. So that was the Meat Puppets playing a birthday party in Williamsburg, in a hotel in Williamsburg. Think about the amount of money that you have if you have a band the caliber of the Meat Puppets at your birthday party. What else we have this year? We had Sublime with Rome at PNC Bank Art Center. That was another free show that was on the Ticketmaster lawsuit. That's also, the Snoop Dogg Wiz show was also free, so That's two concerts that I saw for free. Sublime with Rome, I was able to... Did I sneak down? Or did I buy seats? Oh, no, I got the seats for free. Because the Ticketmaster lawsuit allowed you to get a ticket. It didn't say where. So I got a seat. And that... At Sublime, sorry, I have the hiccups. At Sublime with Rome, I ran into Sal and Lisa. Sal from the Slant podcast, the Slant show. So then I was on the Slant show the next day. We had some good times on there. See, that's another good thing about 2016, branching out, being on other podcasts, being on the Slant show a couple of times. Like, Sal, Anthony, Lisa, they're good people. And I mean, it's good to go on sometimes. The problem is like, I can't go on now because Sal would, he'd poke me about Trump because he's one of the people that thinks it's like funny. Not thinks it's funny, you know, I'm sure he's under the impression that he loves the country, but he's expressing his love for the country in all of the wrong ways. What else happened? I mean, in terms of Jay Pork's podcast, I mean... This Blue Snowball microphone is almost, we're almost 50 podcasts in with it. I gotta say that I sound incredible. I sound better than most of the people's podcasts that you actually listen to. I mean, I don't sound better than Joe Rogan, but I am the smooth, sultry tones are just something that happens courtesy of this Blue Snowball microphone, which I actually got in 2016, but the 2015, but, you know, it was in the last year, so I'm counting it. It was popularized in 2016, along with the return of fascism and a term called post-truth. I mean, in terms of the world... Like, besides, all right, like, our election process is a disaster. This country is going in the wrong direction in terms of social change, economical status, economical standing, socioeconomical background, ethnicity, you know, acceptance, whatever you want to call it, equality. This country's moving back. But I mean, you know, there's always broken Matt Hardy. I mean, listen, if you're ever down on your luck, just put into YouTube broken Matt Hardy and just watch it. Just listen to the things that he says. And then you'll understand that, you know what, maybe things aren't so bad. At least I'm not broken. Like, I may be bent, but I'm not broken. And it will be wonderful, yes. Wonderful. Alright. I don't know, man. New year, new me. That's what's gonna happen. New year, new me. Next time you hear this, it'll be 2017. Next time you hear me, after this. You're hearing this now. Guys, in 2017, I would really love if people got in touch with me more. So you can always tweet at me at JPorks. You can follow me on Instagram at JPorks. You could like JPorks podcast on Facebook. I mean, these are all things you can do if you wanna, if you have things that you want to hear discussed on the JPorks podcast. Because I can just complain about, I can complain about fascism every day. Every day of my life I could, and I will. But, like, if you want me to get some other stuff in, I encourage you, please. And listen, I'm not asking anybody for money. Every podcast I listen to, at the top of the show, they're like, all right, and if you want to help us out, just remember to donate to our Patreon page here. And, like, you know, listen, me and Andy and Jesse and Tyler, like, we don't care. Just leave comments on iTunes. That's good enough. Go to the podcast app, leave a comment, leave a review, like it, tell your friends. That's payment enough. As podcasters, we are going to figure out ways to get paid without begging. Oh, please, can we have some money? No, I don't do that. The only what help I need from you is your interaction. All I needed to do is tell me I'm wrong about something. Tell me I'm right about something. And some of you do it accidentally. Sometimes I post something on Facebook or I tweet something and you reply and we get into a whole back and forth and you don't realize that you just really helped my podcast. So even though most of the time you're a moron, thank you for being a moron, because if it wasn't for morons like you, people like me wouldn't look so damn smart. Roasted. Clap back. I wanted to name this episode Christmas Clapback, but the war on Christmas isn't really happening. You know, that's the one thing. Racism has overtaken Starbucks cups. Like, no one's complaining. No one's saying, keep the Christ in Christmas. I didn't even hear that this year. Because that's a thing they do when they're mad at the Democrat. That's a thing they do when a Democrat is in office, because they think that the Democrats and Jewish people are the reason people say happy holidays. I got news for you. It's not. Every Jewish person I've met freaking loves Christmas, including my grandmother, Holocaust survivor. My grandmother. Rest in peace. She was awesome. She loved Christmas music. The pageantry of Christmas, the gift giving, the being nice to one another. If you people did that all year round, we can say Merry Christmas every day. Keep the Christ in Christmas. It's weird because Christmas is on December 25th and Jesus was born in the summer. Why were the peasants wearing sandals if it's the middle of winter? What's the climate looking like? And why is the Bible in English when everyone knows they were speaking Arabic back then? Oh, don't want to get some white people frustrated. They were speaking American. And then Republican Jesus said, only feed the ones that pass the drug test. For real. Like, I'm not saying Jesus wouldn't be conservative. I'm just saying he wouldn't be a dick like the people who follow him. Alright, I'm getting out of here. Remember, you guys gotta interact. You have to. It's all I need. It costs no money, and it costs 5 seconds of your time. And listen, if enough people interact with me within 7 days of hearing this podcast, I will personally do a live or a taped live streamed exclusively to YouTube episode of the Jay Porks podcast. It will be exclusively to YouTube. I will live stream it, video. I'll do it. If I get even a couple of people that want it, all you got to do is reach out to me. Tweet at me at Jay Porks. Like me on Facebook, Jay Porks Podcast. You know, get at me there. Instagram. I mean, I'm not... Instagram isn't really the place where I, you know, have many conversations. But if that's your choice of social media usage, then that's where you come find me. My buddy Christina Rocks, I plan on having her on. I hope she'll come on. I think she'll come on. She said she'll come on. Haven't spoken to her in a while. I'd love to get her on the show when you can actually hear the words I'm saying, and I don't sound like this. All right, before I get up on out of here, a list of websites you need to go to help keep me in business all throughout 2016 and 17. And when I say keep me in business, I don't mean line in my pockets, because there's more important things than my fucking pockets. The most important thing about the Jay Porks podcast is not the monetary income of what it is, but the message that you get. You need to hear the message. There are jokes, but there's an overall message that I want to get out to you. All right. List the websites you need to go to help keep me in business. First of all, there is always ConcertConfessions.com. That's where you can find all your live music, news, and reviews for the fans by the fans. And if you go to Concert Confessions and you search Jay Porks, you can view the live archived content from all the concerts I've been to in 2016. It hasn't been that much, But, you know, there was Ween, there was Jewel. I forgot about Ween. All right, Ween and Jewel are, like, tied. Which is crazy. Anybody, you know, just think, man. See, I'm not good with lists. They were both great concerts that I went to this year. Check it out, concertconfessions.com. Just scroll down. Also, ChristinaRocks.com. Hang the DJ, the aforementioned rocking Christina. You can tweet at her at ChristinaRocks. You can go to her website, ChristinaRocks.com. That's Christina spelled with no H. So you can, you know, and you could listen to the Time Warp every Sunday, 89xradio.com, you know, powered by iHeartRadio all of a sudden. Moving on up to the east side. Yeah, so iHeartRadio's own Christina Rocks, get at her on Twitter, at Christina Rocks. Tell her I said she's the coolest cucumber in the salad, because she is. Dearer Network headquarters can always be found at andydearer.com. That's where you get all your podcasting needs that matter. Jesse Unplugged, Spin Class with Tyler and Andy, the flagship show, the Andy Dearer Show, or the smooth, sultry tones of the Jay Porks podcast. La 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 la, me. Mo, racism has taken over our country, and we will die. I don't know, man. I'm still feeling the effects from last night, I guess. Okay. Also, last and most certainly not least, AntiQuiet.com is your source for quality. And the headlines are always powered by that. And if there's no headlines, then you still go to AntiQuiet. Tell Squirrel and Johnny Firecloud I said what's up. No, tell them you said what's up. And tell them you heard about AntiQuiet through the Jay Porks podcast. Because, I don't know. Why start telling the truth now, right? Alright, guys. Remember, get at me. Tweet at me. At Jay Porks. Email me. jayporks@gmail.com. jayporkspodcast@gmail.com. Get at me. And I will see you all next year. But until then, while it is still legal in the recreational parts of the country, partake in some wacky weed. And if you can hear, flip on that Warren Zevon. Be a werewolf of America. All right. Happy holidays, guys. Happy New Year. See you guys next year. This has been Jay Porks Podcast, episode 152. Late.